Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Giridhara Dhari. Jashara Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tidha Vanachadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Om Vishnupad Panamansa Paribrajakacharja Ashto Tarasata Shri Shimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Sangsthapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kundradha Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Navadvip Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Mayi Ki Jai. Jamana Mayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Brindaki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande Hariribo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.11. Sayantanam swastanam va sangrahnita bhikshitam pani patra udaratmatro makshikeva na sangrahi sayantanam swastanam va nas sangrahinita bhikshitam pani patro dara matro makshikeva na sangrahi sayantanam swastanam va na sangrihinita bhikshitam pani patro dara matro makshikeva na sangrahi sayantanam swastanam va na sangrihinita bhikshitam pani patro dara matro makshikeva na sangrihi sayantanam swastanam va na sangrinita bhikshitam. Pani patro dharamatro mokshikeva na sangrihi. Tanam svastanam va na sangrinita bhikshitam. Pani patro dharamatro mokshikeva na sangrihi. Ladies. Shayantanam swastanam va na sangranita bhikshitam pani patra dharo matro matrikeva na sangrihi sayantanam meant for the night, swastanam meant for tomorrow, va either, na not, sangrahinita should accept, bhikshitam food in charity, pani with the hand, patra as one's plate, udara with the belly, amatraha as the storage container, mokshika, the bee, eva, like, na, not, sangrahi, a collector. A saintly person should not think, this food I will keep to eat tonight, and this other food I can save for tomorrow. In other words, a saintly person should not store foodstuffs acquired by begging. Rather, he should use his own hands as his plate and eat whatever fits on them. His only storage container should be his belly, and whatever conveniently fits into his belly should be his stock of food. Thus, one should not imitate the greedy honeybee who eagerly collects more and more honey. Purport. There are two types of honeybees, those who collect nectar from the flowers and those who actually manufacture honey in the beehive. This verse refers to the second class. The greedy honeybee eventually collects so much honey that he's trapped in his hive. And in the same way, a materialistic person becomes trapped under the burden of unnecessary material accumulation. One who is interested in making spiritual progress should avoid such a situation. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, one may accumulate an unlimited amount of material opulence. This is called yukta vairagya, or using everything in the service of Krishna. A saintly person who is unable to work in Lord Chaitanya's mission should practice austerities and collect only what he can hold in his hands and belly. However, one who has given his life to Krishna may collect unlimitedly on Lord Krishna's behalf. In fact, without acquiring material opulence, how is it possible to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world? But if one tries to personally enjoy the funds or facilities acquired for the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, he commits the greatest offense. Therefore, even in the name of Lord Krishna, one should collect only what he can immediately engage in practical devotional service. Otherwise, one will fall down to the platform of ordinary greediness. Om Agana Timidantasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sayantanam Swastanam Va Na Sangrihi Sangrinita Pikshitam Pani Patro Dharamatro Mokshikeva Na Sangrihi. This is the lesson for the vairagis to be learned from the honeybee, not to collect and store. Visvasvatiti, no. What is that? Anukulyasya sankalpam, pratikulyasya varjanam. Rakshasyatiti vishvaso, then goptritve varanam tata. The devotee should be confident, Krishna will maintain me. If one does not have this confidence, one should not take sannyas. The qualifications for the sannyasi are abhayam sattva-samshutir jnana-yoga-vivastati. He should be fearless. He shouldn't think, who will feed me? Who will protect me? Who will take care of me? He should have that confidence that Krishna will protect me. Krishna will maintain me. He's maintaining everyone else. Why not me? Srila Prabhupada came to America with that confidence. He had no health care plan. He had no arrangements for anything, practically. But he thought, let me go for Krishna's service and depend on Krishna. And he saw that although he didn't have very much, somehow or other, every day he was getting food, somehow or other, every day he was staying someplace. It may not have been a very good place, especially in the beginning. Somehow or other, whatever Krishna provides, I'll push on. Sometimes he may provide a palace, sometimes he may provide a hut. Prabhupada was sometimes staying in the tower in Juhu, sometimes staying in a hut in Bhubaneswar or Haridaspur. whatever Krishna sends. So the householders have to stock something. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after getting married, went to East Bengal to collect some money. Because a householder has to have some money. He has an establishment, like a business. It has to have some capital. You can't run a business without capital. Right? So household also, you need some capital. There'll be all sorts of expenses. But the sannyasi's business doesn't require any capital. The business of maintaining, householder has to maintain his wife, himself, his children, so many things. Householder, the brahmachari or sannyasi, what does he have to maintain? Only his body. And what is that? How much trouble does that take? He should be confident that whatever I get, Krishna's fed me today, he'll feed me tomorrow. He fed me today, he'll feed me next week. I don't have to make arrangements. The householders make arrangements. But the sannyasi, especially the sannyasi, he doesn't have to arrange for his food, arrange for his future, anything. He has to depend on Krishna. That's the point here. We heard someplace, we read that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling with a group of devotees and he had some digestive problem. He asked if anyone had some triphala. And one sannyasi was keeping some triphala, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think he took it, but then threw him off the party. He's stalking. Yes. Quite strong. So those who are in renounced life should basically live this way. As they say, from hand to mouth. Whatever Krishna may send. And not stock. We don't have to keep Mahaprasadam in a, stocked up. Some I'll take this morning, some I'll take this evening, some I'll take tomorrow. Whatever comes. And if there's excess, we distribute. And tomorrow again, we'll see what Krishna sends. Here in the purport, it's said that, of course, for Krishna, one can collect so much. Even then, those who are in the renounced order have to be very careful that in the name of spreading Krishna consciousness, they don't build up a big stock of cash for their own comfort or even for spreading Krishna consciousness. If we start stockpiling capital with the idea that I'll have lots of cash to spread Krishna consciousness, one has to be very careful because one can start thinking like a rich man. Let me do this. Yes, let me do that. Yes, let me do this. Yes, let me do that. Yes. Let me try this. Yes, let me try that. He's like a rich man. Doesn't have to consider, doesn't have to worry. I have it, I can spend it. What's the problem? In this way, he becomes subject to the influence of this money is not my discretionary capital to use this way or that way. Very freely. The money has come with great difficulty. Maybe it wasn't difficult for me, but it was difficult for someone. Householders have accumulated or gathered money with great difficulty. They are giving it to me for Krishna's service. So that means I have a great responsibility. That money should be spent very carefully. we saw that Prabhupada, in coming to America, was accounting for every penny. Every penny was accounted for. And later on, after establishing the Krishna Consciousness Movement, he was insisting on the same thing. If anyone speaks to my godbrother Tejas Prabhu, who was the temple president of Delhi, Prabhupada was always after him about the accounts, about the trial balance, about, you know, do it again because 10 paisa are missing. Very particular. Not a paisa should be wasted. Everything accounted for. Because Ishavashamidam Sarvamit, capital that's been entrusted to me. And if I start thinking that it's not a big, money not accounted for, I can say this, it's not in Bhagavatam, but I say it with confidence. Money accounted for behaves differently from money not accounted for. I say that from my practical experience. I never used to keep any accounts. Just whatever went in the pocket and went out of the pocket. And then I started keeping accounts, and it behaves differently. You have to keep watch what came in, what came out. Everything has to be accounted for. You're not thinking differently, you're not doing, but just that you're watching it. I think this is there in quantum physics also, that a system that's seen behaves differently from a system that's not seen. Am I right? So the same applies, I don't know if it's a quantum mechanical phenomenon, but the same thing applies to money. When you give attention to it and account for it, it behaves differently. And then if someone else is giving attention to it, again it behaves differently. If only my eyes are on it, it behaves one way, but if there's someone else giving attention to it, it behaves a different way. Therefore, in the corporate world, there's a system that you can spend up to this amount. And then if you want to spend up to this amount, it requires another signature. And if you want to go to this amount, you have to go to the board. Schedule of authority. You can't just spend up to $2 million, $5 million, $7 million because you're the chief executive officer, even. The CEO also can't do that. He can spend something, just on his own accord. A little more, he has to consult. Little more, he has to consult higher. He doesn't have absolute freedom. So Prabhupada wanted ISKCON's money seen, watched over very carefully. This was the business of the GBC. Prabhupada said the first business of the GBC, one of the first businesses, they should take an account monthly from every temple in their zone. What is the income? What is the expenditure? Not just that it's locally seen. The GBC should see it also. Then above the GBC member, further scrutiny. Okay, that's something. Looking elsewhere in Bhagavatam. Yeah. Otherwise, for the sannyasi, Kali Yuga goes where there's women and where there's money. Especially. Actually, where there's intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, meat eating. Kali Yuga goes there. So then it was banned that Parikshit Maharaj said, okay, you can stay in these four places. And then Kali said, but there are no such places. Give me something practical, please. Right? You can stay where there's gold stocked up. So Prabhupada said Kali became gold standardized. Then later Kali became advanced. He went to the paper standard. Because gold is, you can stock it. But when you have, when you come to the paper standard, you could just print it. If you're a government and you're in need of money, you just print more. I think they call it quantitative easing. Right? I think that's the fancy term for it. Quantitative easing. Which sounds really what it means is just printing more money. And of course, the money has less value because you've inflated the currency. But in this way, you've got more money. You and I can't do that, but governments can do that. So this is further cheating. Kali Yuga, Kali takes shelter of gold and now paper and plastic currency. So sannyasis have to be careful. Otherwise, I'll tell you a story. Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. This new Dwarka had been established as the ISKCON world headquarters. Recently they'd acquired this nice building. And the Krishna consciousness movement was starting to grow. This is maybe 1970, thereabouts. Someone had given Prabhupada that nice coat with the peacock feather tassels, maybe you've seen in some of the pictures. He's on a morning walk. He has a very nice coat with tassels made of peacock. You know, the what would you call it? Not a tassel exactly, but like, you know, the cord that you use for pulling the hood tight with peacock feathers on the end. Someone had given Prabhupada a gold lame bead bag, you know, that fabric that looks like gold. They'd given Prabhupada a gold lame bead bag. And Prabhupada was in his quarters in Los Angeles, which were nice quarters also. He said, "Now Krishna is sending so many things. So I'm simply praying to Krishna that I may not fall down. Simply praying to Krishna that I may not fall down." Because this is Maya's way. She'll send a woman, she'll send money, she'll send opulence. There was one time Kali put both together. He approached a sannyasi in New York in the form of a woman, and the woman was claiming to be the heiress of a big automobile company. So both things were there, the woman and the money. So the sannyasi thought that this was a great opportunity. I could engage this rich woman in Krishna's service. And he began cultivating this woman, and then really cultivating this woman, and then, you know, there became a mutual cultivation program. And later it came out that the woman was a fraud. She was a simple prostitute. And she had no money at all. But the result was that the sannyasi fell down with the woman. Now, this is Maya's trick. Another sannyasi commented later. He said, "I don't think that Krishna approaches a sannyasi in the form of a woman. I don't think Krishna approaches a sannyasi in the form of a woman." Well, one, of course, Krishna may send very sincere women for being engaged in his service. Prabhupada had so many women disciples. But one has to be very careful about these two things, women and money. One becomes surrounded by nice, affectionate, beautiful women. One becomes possessed of big stock of money. This can cause trouble in the life of anyone who's trying to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Even the householders have to be careful. They become too rich, too opulent, start thinking. They also have to be governed by austerity. Their austerity especially is they have to give charity. If the grihasthas give charity, they'll, for the most part, not be very opulent. And that's healthy. Not that they have to be on the same level as the brahmacharis and sannyasis, but they also shouldn't live very luxuriantly. And sannyasis, certainly not.
In Bhagavatam, elsewhere, satyam kṣito kim kaśipo prayasar baho svasiddhe yupa paranai kim satyanjalo kim purudhana patriya dik balkadado balkalado satikim tukulai. Sukadev Goswami said, when there are ample earthly flats to lie on, what's the need of cots and beds? Kashipo. When one can use his own arms, what's the need of a pillow? When you can use the palms of your hands, what do you need varied utensils for? When there's ample covering or the skins of trees, what's the need of clothing? Chirani kim pati nasanti dishanti biksham nayavangripa padavrita shadito pyashush ashushyam rudha guha kemajito vatino pasannan kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadura madan dan. Are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? Sanatana Goswami, Kopina kantashrito. The Goswamis were wearing a loincloth and a kanta. Kanta means a quilt, but not like the quilts that you buy at the, you know, on Petter Road or something. A quilt meant some torn cloth, you stitch it together, and that's your quilt. Do the trees, which exist for maintaining others, no longer give alms in charity? Do the rivers, being dried up, no longer supply water to the thirsty? Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or, above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? Dhanadurmatantan. So it doesn't mean that now we all have to go and find trees to get bark from and pretend to be like forest sages or Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. But our needs should be reduced to the minimum. Even Prabhupada observed that we don't have any furniture. We don't need the furniture. Sometimes I go to different countries and I see so many big, big furniture stores. Prabhupada was in 22nd Avenue in his apartment. His bed was a little quilt with some elephant designs. His desk was a tin box, you know, one of those little tin boxes they use for luggage. That was his desk. Practically nothing. Very simple. Even up to the end, Prabhupada didn't. You know, there's so many gurus, they have 14 Rolls Royces, and they have this, and they have that, and people are thinking, oh, Guruji. But Sukadeva Goswami says, why do we have to flatter the materialists to get something for our own livelihood? The bhikshu, the beggar, is not a beggar for getting money and accumulating and living safely and comfortably. The personality of Godhead is my protector. The personality of Godhead is my maintainer. I may live in a mansion, then the next day I may live in a hut or under a tree. The sannyasi has to be detached like that and confident like that, that Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me. ISKCON may or may not, this or that may or may not, but Krishna is there. All devotees should be confident that finally I have to depend on Krishna. All right, what questions?
Krishna Maharaj, very important topic for a householder as far as money is concerned. Maharaj, problem in a householder is, as the scriptures are very clear, as in when you get more money, if you wanted to maintain a proper consciousness, you have to give charity so that your consciousness remains equal and you don't get attached. But the practical problem that comes in a householder is specifically those householder who is doing business. Business is not steady. Sometimes he earns money, sometimes he doesn't earn. Sometimes he has to survive on whatever he has saved. So in that reason, he cannot give everything in charity, otherwise he will be bankrupt.
He can't give everything. He has to keep some stock.
Yeah.
The grihastha can't pretend to be a sannyasi.
Correct.
Some stock he has to keep. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, 50% he... Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami?
Sanatana
Rupa Goswami. Gave 50%. For the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, 25% was kept against personal emergency, 25% was given to the family members. So Prabhupada cites that as the example. So the householders have to figure how to manage. We're not going to send the, you know, financial inspectors to everyone's home to see what you're doing. So it's up to you. But the householder should think, the more I depend on Krishna, the more I'm able to give, the more it's purification for me. What is that? Yajna dana tapa chaiva pavanani manishinam. Even for those who are advanced in knowledge, yajna, sacrifice, charity, yajna dana, and tapasya are purifying. It's for our benefit also. We think the more I'm holding on, the more I'm safe. No, actually, when I'm doing tapasya, when I'm doing yajna, when I'm giving charity, then I'm making my position more secure, more safe. So again, the householders have to manage, not that they just suddenly throw everything. And then, of course, sometimes, like... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had one disciple, Nishikanta Sanyal, a professor. And he was doing editorial work for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other work. And he was a householder, but he was giving practically everything to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So much so that his wife would sometimes have to approach and say, Guru Maharaj, we, you know, the children have no shoes, or whatever it was. Because he would give practically everything. So if one has that kind of confidence and dedication, one can do that also. But it's not demanded of the householders that you live like a sannyasi. But as simply as possible, and reducing unnecessary necessities. Because it's easier to spend less than make more. This I learned from one Marwari millionaire. He taught a course on such things. It's easier to bring down your fixed expenses than it is to increase your income. Simple thing. Easy, simple thing to understand, which most people don't understand. They'll work hard and hard and hard, and they'll think, I don't have enough money, and where is more money? And meanwhile, you know, $900 for an iPhone, whatever the number is now. when, you know, for $200, $100, they could have done the job. But not with this kind of woo-woo-woo. It doesn't have the same woo-woo factor as the latest. So unnecessarily, he spends so much money for something expensive, and now he has to scramble. Where is money? Where is money? And how could charity... I have to summon. I observed one devotee, very good manager. He took charge of the New York temple at one point when it was going into serious debt. And the first thing he did was he just cut all the expenses. There was just no expenditure because there was no money. And to get money was harder than, you know, you had to stop the bleeding, first of all. It was winter. We had heat for 2 hours a day in New York. Because that's another principle. If you don't have it, you can't spend it. People don't know that either. They don't have it, and still they spend it.
They take loans, Maharaj.
Yeah, they take loans. They have credit cards. You don't have it, but you spend it, and then you can pay for that privilege at, what, 35%, 45% interest, which is another definition of insanity. You're paying that much money for nothing. You don't get anything in exchange for that. So people are spending more than they have for more than they need. So it's simple economic advice for householders. Spend less. Do with less. And you'll be happier. Spiritually and materially, your life will be better. Just spend less. Because it's easier than getting more. There was one Christian preacher. I happened to hear him speak for a few minutes. He used to advise the married Christian couples. He said, my first advice to them is not to get a credit card. And if you do get a credit card, you make a vow that the first time I fail to pay that credit card bill, we're going to cut that credit card with the scissors and throw it away. It's good advice. Don't spend what you don't have. Make do with less. And Prabhupada said a householder invents some simple means of livelihood and Krishna helps him. He doesn't say that Krishna will help provide the unnecessary necessities acquired at 45% interest. You know, Krishna is the most intelligent. You may be a fool, but why does he have to be a fool and invest, you know, what is that, what's the word? Bankroll, that kind of foolish expenditure. Just because I'm a fool doesn't mean that Krishna has to be a fool. Yes.
So the biggest problem that practically in a household life that happens is you have to hold some Lakshmi for your future thing. If there's some problem comes in your business,
you
have to take it care of it. And you cannot spend it lavishly also. You have to keep your expenses to the lower. But Maharaj, the problem that comes up, because you have a good accumulation and you have a fear that your sadhana, your Krishna consciousness has not gone to that level where you can absorb such a big Lakshmi which is there in your bank. And that might create, fear is there, that big balance might create some disturbance in your Krishna consciousness that tempt you for some sense gratification. So how to see that sense gratification motive doesn't come up?
One should have that fear that I've banked this capital and that capital could bite me. That capital could bite me. So I can't say too much, but one thing practical, if that's my safety capital, don't spend it. If that's the capital that's put away for emergencies, an iPhone 6 is not an emergency. New furniture is not an emergency. This, that, and the other thing are not emergency. So if I start mixing it, it's like mixing accounts. And this is budgeted for this, but you spend it for that. Then, now you're in trouble. Because not only have you stocked capital for a rainy day, but now you're starting to use your rainy day capital while the sun is shining. And that's, even in the material, in the estimation of the intelligent materialist, that's Maya. You know, that's foolishness.
Maharaj, the second point is, when we wanted to give charity, we wanted to get satisfaction that we have given.
Mm.
And that satisfaction, if you don't get it and your mind becomes disturbed when the Lakshmi is not getting utilized,
yes,
in a proper way, then you get more disturbed even if you have given charity.
Mm.
So in but that circumstances, when you see that the money is not getting utilized properly, then at what time should we do? Should we give charity still?
No. Yes. You should give charity still to those who know how to use your charity and whom you have confidence in. That my charity here will be used properly. For there's a website, probably more than one, on the internet, which lists so many non-profit organizations in America, so many charities, maybe internationally, but at least in America. And they'll show you, you know, what their budget is, what their report was, what, you know, what their, how, so you can evaluate who's on their board. Because people who give big charity, they don't just say, oh, look at that, they're feeding the poor, give them money. They're educating children, give them money. They study. The same way they would study a company that they were interested in acquiring, they study the charity that they're thinking of giving to. Foundations, which handle big, big money for charity, they study before they give grants, before they give... Yeah, before they give grants. What's your track record? Are they honest? Are there accounts available to see? Is it well managed? Do they use it for what they say they're using it for? That's rule one. Any charity, you have to use it for what you say you're using it for. You can't collect for food for life and spend it for a new altar. That's very wrong. It's like a cardinal rule. I mean, it's not in Bhagavatam, but it's a cardinal rule in charity. You must spend the money for the purpose for which you've collected it. And Prabhupada was strong on that also. People would go collect in the name of this and give and use it for temple maintenance. Very wrong. So those who are householders, you should give, not just sentimentally. Where the money, you have confidence. Here the money will be used for Krishna nicely. It will accomplish something. And you can ask to see. I want to see the accounts. I'm sorry, we don't have the accounts. I'm sorry too, I don't have any money to give you. Who's in charge? Where are the accounts? What is it used for? What's your track record? And those who want charity, they should be ready to do the same thing. Here's my accounts. Here's who's in charge. Here's our schedule of authority. Here are the signatures that are required before we can spend. Here's our records for the last 5 years. Open book. Because from the sentimentalist, you can get a little. But if you want serious money, then you have to be able to show that you deserve it. Even Krishna, if you want serious money from Krishna, you have to show Krishna that you deserve it. That he's not going to give you money and you're going to spend it willy-nilly. Maybe Maya will give you that money. She loves to invest that way. Here's a fool. He throws money away. Give him more. For Maya, it's a good investment. I give him money and he gives me his life. A very good deal. But Prabhupada was particular that those who were in charge of the institution should be very scrutinizing, very attentive to see that not a paisa is wasted. How hard the brahmacharis work to go out and sell books and collect. And then I'm going to use that money this way, that way, casually. On some dream, on some scheme, on some speculation, on some gambling, on some... It's not my money. It's not hobby money. How carefully that money has to be spent. And that means that there has to be oversight, there has to be discipline. That's how Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to run. Not just at the whim of this or that manager, thousands of dollars, millions of dollars get spent. Everything has to be seen very carefully. And when we're confident that it's being used nicely, give there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is on yesterday's verse. I missed it, so if you allow me to ask on that.
Yes.
In the purport, the last statement yesterday was that the complacent, dogmatic and sectarian religionists have a lot to learn from this example of honeybee about the essence seeking. My question was that it's advisable to be non-sectarian and seek the essence, but sometimes it is, some things are certainly confusing. Like in particular, I'm recently reading about one other monotheistic faith other than Vaishnavism. And they also, the certain practitioners of them also seem to have the disciplic succession and tradition starting from a messenger. And some of them also seem to have attained the perfection in which their descriptions, expressions are like similar to the consciousness of the last verse of Shikshastaka.
So then we appreciate. If you're not in Krishna consciousness, we don't appreciate. If you're, what is that? Savaya pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje. Vaituki apratiyata yayama supersi. We don't care. If you've come to this point, we're very happy. Not that you... We insist, no, if you're not in our group.
But then when we read in our scriptures that there have been four bona fide paramparas, there are four sampradayas.
Yeah.
So at least externally in the recent history, that other disciplic succession doesn't seem to originate from these four.
Correct. And therefore, if you want to understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you probably are not going to find him over there. You'll find something. Krishna in some other form, Krishna in some other manifestation.
Then if we judge that probably Krishna is the topmost and that revelation is not the topmost, then are we being again dogmatic?
You're being discriminating. Or you can say they're the topmost, we're the topmost, but topmost reveals himself in different ways. To some percentage, to some higher percentage. We shouldn't be puffed up. I'm a Vaishnava. I'm the most advanced. And still, my mind is on women. My mind is on this and that. But I'm a Vaishnava, so I'm more advanced than all those. So we appreciate someone's dedicated to this or that tradition of devotional service. We're happy. We have confidence in this process and this objective. But if someone has achieved something, we're happy.
Thank you, Maharaj. On the same lines, if we don't have to be dogmatic, not opinionated, I guess the opposite of that is...
You have to be opinionated. Everybody has an opinion. Even that you shouldn't be opinionated is an opinion.
true. So I think the antonym of being dogmatic can be taken as openness to experience is what is valued. Book of objectivity.
I'm not sure exactly what he intended in that purport, what they had in mind. One should be appreciative that God is not held captive in my mandir, and he can't appear anywhere else. You know, somehow or other I've got a monopoly, and he can't appear to anyone else. He can't bless anyone else. If you want to get him, you have to pay me an entrance fee. And Krishna is there everywhere, and he can bestow his mercy everywhere. But still, if we say, well, Krishna is everywhere, I can do anything then. So we have to find where is the process that we will find most effective and most suitable to reach the highest goal.
In today's world, Maharaj, there is so much emphasis on liberalism, openness to experience.
That's another nonsense. And it's another dogma too. You're not open to experience. You don't try different things. It's a great one to use on women, by the way. All these liberals, you know. Come on, aren't you open to new experiences? Are you some sort of prude or something? I mean, is this a religion? Or, I mean, what's with you? You should be open. So that I can exploit. To be open to experience, you know, open to all experience is the policy of fools. Maybe I said this someplace before, maybe I said this here before, that, you know, why just restrict yourself to food? You know, rice dal, chapatis, and sandesh, and so many things. You should be open to new experience. The dogs are depositing so much stuff on the street, why don't you try it? Is this some sort of dogma or something that you... Sorry, dogma. Anyway. It's just nonsense that you just try anything. It doesn't work in any field. In finance, are you just open to anything? In medicine, those who are doctors, you just try anything? It's nuts. Now, you may be open to possibilities. You scrutinize them very carefully. You examine. You're not just going to close your eyes to all possibilities. But you're not a fool either. Try anything. Do anything.
Doesn't it sound a little contradiction that we are denying openness to experience? At the same time, we are saying we should be essence-seeking and thereby non-sectarian.
Essence, if you want to seek the essence, like here's a man who's in finance. He's seeking the essence, which means profit. But he's dogmatic. His dogma is, I don't just throw my money everywhere. Here's an investment, here's an investment, here's an investment, here's an investment. His dogma is that it has to, I want to see return on investment. And if I don't see evidence that there'll be return on my investment, I'm not going to invest. I'm willing to invest in anything. It may be solar energy, it may be the latest toy, it may be you name it. But it's got to show evidence that it's going to be profitable. I'm not just open to anything. Anyone can walk in my office and say, I need a core for this. It's going to be great. I'm sure of it. You're going to love it. Yeah, put your papers on the table. Let's see your accounts. Let's see your projections. Let's see the whole thing. See if it makes sense. Then maybe we'll invest. Not we just try. Well, But have you tried it? How do you know if you haven't tried it? That's idiotic.
Maharaj, in religious experience also, they say the same, ki Krishna consciousness is like a gulab jamun, you know, it's like a sweet thing. Unless you taste it, you won't...
Look at it carefully. We have our books. It's not just, you know... We're also inexperienced, so try us, try anything. Okay, if you're going to try anything, then try us too. But if you're discriminating, we're ready for you. And we don't, it's the most foolish thing. Try any medicine, try any anything for sense gratification. Try any philosophy, try any avatar, try any, it's just nuts. And nobody really works that way unless they're a fool. The liberals also, they discriminate. If you're conservative, we don't want to talk to you. Right? Unless you think that women are absolutely as qualified as men, don't even walk in my door, because I'm a liberal.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Maharaj, one question.
Okay, we're coming to the end, I think, but all right.
Maharaj, finally, everything we are doing, whatever we are learning from you, we have to accept grahastha life, vanprastha life, we have to control our senses, we have to keep Krishna as a focus, our goal should be Krishna consciousness, everything, whatever we are doing, even if we do to the best we can, finally a consciousness comes out that even if I do everything, yet my anarthas, my shortcomings are not going to go till the last breath of my life. I have to go on showing my sincerity till the last breath of... I have to show my sincerity till the last breath of my life. But it is only the causeless mercy of Lord that is only going to take me out from this mess, whatever that is created.
Correct.
So Maharaj, I wanted to know that what is the solace that we can get it when we are about to leave our body, that Krishna will give that causeless mercy to us and will take us out from this mess that has been created.
Uddhava said that why should I take shelter of anyone else than Krishna? Because Krishna is so merciful that even a Rakshasi who came to poison him by smearing poison on her breast and pretending to be an affectionate mother got the position of a mother. When Krishna is so kind, even to Uttana, then why will he not be kind to me?
Yes. But on one side, we see those examples that gives lots of encouragement, but there are some examples in Srimad Bhagavatam that gives us a little bit discouragement also, like Bharat Maharaj. He gave his whole life, but he had to become a Jad Bharat. He had to.
That's
become
a very encouraging story. In only three lifetimes, he went back to Godhead.
But Maharaj, the problem for us is Prabhupada has made us so strong in our mind that we want to finish in this lifetime itself.
So we should. But somehow if we fail, then all right, next lifetime. But Prabhupada said, finish it up in this lifetime.
Maharaj, we are helpless.
That's
Krishna's
good.
Mercy is the only mercy.
The helpless person, what do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. The Prabhupada said the chanting is to be done helplessly. That, like the child crying for the mother. The child is helpless. So we're meant to call to Krishna, please help me, please help me, please help me. On our own, what can I do? What can we do? But if Krishna helps, one time, I'll tell you a story, a small story, and then we'll stop. That one time, I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, but we went to the place in a car. This was in Brooklyn, and we went to the place where he wanted to walk in the car. Then we were coming back in the car. And when we reached the corner right near the temple, there was a post box. I don't know how they are here, but in America at that time anyway, they had post boxes. They were like you know, 4 feet high or something like that, and it has a like a door at the top, and you open the door and you drop your letter in the box and close the door. So as we were rounding the corner, the post box was there, and there was a little boy and his father. And the father was lifting up the boy, and the boy was putting the letter in the box. And Prabhupada was just absorbed in watching this. You know, the whole scene was like, what, 20 seconds or something? But Prabhupada seemed longer, because Prabhupada was just absorbed in watching this. And his eyes were like wide, and he was really absorbed. And I was thinking, you know, what is Prabhupada seeing? You know, maybe he's thinking of his childhood. Then Prabhupada said, the little boy on his own cannot do. But when the affectionate father helps, then it is possible. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.